Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Kuf Ayin. We are holding on daf Kuf Samach Tesam Beis. We are at Tanu Rabbanon, four lines from the end of the page on Kuf Samach Tesam Beis. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Ala Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times in Hatzlacha, for our soldiers and our captives, they should return home safely. Also by Yanki and Pesi Shifman, Lili Nishmas Pesi's father, Harav Shlomo Menachem Ben Rav Simcha Kohen, whose Shloshim ends today, and Hashem Eshav and Aliyah, and also sponsored by Ken and Marcy Kapel, in memory of Ken's sister, a noted Israeli journalist, Nettie Gross Horowitz, whose yahrzeit is today, Necha Dobra Bas Yisrael and Avigail, Mir Hashem Eshav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for these sponsorships. So what we're going to discuss today, first Amud Aleph, is all going to be on one topic. The Gemara is going to quote a brisa that has a machlokas tanaim about a person who comes with both a shtar and a chazaka. He says, I have two rayas. I have a shtar and a chazaka. So there's a machlokas in the brisa, which one he must produce. Does he have to bring the shtar or the chazaka? So the Gemara is going to have five explanations of that machlokas, of what exactly the case is, and what is the nukudas ha-machlokas, what are they in fact arguing about. So that's going to be the entirety of Amud Aleph, and a little bit of, pretty much the entirety of Amud Aleph, almost the entirety of Amud Aleph. Then at the very bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss if someone claims to have more evidence than he needs to have in order to win a case, do we require him to bring all of the evidence that he claims to have, or do we only require him to bring the evidence that he needs to have? He says he's got everything, but he doesn't need everything. He only needs a certain amount of evidence. Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to have a machlokas what to do with a shtar when a loan is partially paid, meaning the shtar is for $1,000. The guy already paid up $500. What do we do with the shtar? You can't give it back. You can't keep it. So what do you do? So two opinions are going to appear in the Mishnah, and then the Gemara is going to suggest a third opinion, a third option of what to do with such a shtar. So let's begin. Four lines from the end of the page, Kuf Samach Tes Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa. And again, this brisa is going to be the basis of pretty much the entire Amud Aleph. So very critical. Haba Lidon Bishtaru B'Chazaka. A person who wants to prove that Karka belongs to him against the Taina of the previous Bala Karka, who says, I never sold it to you, it still belongs to me. So he wants to prove with a Shtar and a Chazaka. He says that he has a Shtar Mekach on the field, and that he has Eidim, that he's been there for 3 years. He has a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. And we know Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you don't even need a shtar if you have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. That's how the Rashbam and the Ramban learned it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I have a shtar that I purchased the field, and I have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim on this field. However, the Rashbam is going to soon say, in a few lines from now, that according to some of the ways of explaining this machlokas in this brisa, the chazaka that we're talking about over here does not mean a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. It in fact means a Kinyan chazaka, meaning the word chazaka means five different things throughout Shas. So, whenever you have the word chazaka, you have to ask yourself, which kind of chazaka are we talking about? So, the Rashbam right now says it means Cheskas Gimel Shanim, but later he's going to say it means Kinyan Chazaka. Kinyan Chazaka is one of the ways that one can be Kona Karka. There's a Kesef Shtar Chazaka, and Kinyan Chazaka means Nol Gadur Uparatz. So that works as a form of Kinyan. That's what the Ritva writes. And over here it's still not clear that whether it's a reference to Cheskas Gimel Shanim or Kinyan Chazaka, and it's all going to depend on which of the five explanations of this brisa that we're going to accept, because we have five different explanations of this brisa. So someone comes bishtar ube chazaka. So nidon bishtar divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says he should bring the shtar mekach to show that he's the one that bought this field, and it's not enough for him to bring the edei chazaka. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel lomer bechazaka. Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel says he should bring the chazaka. We'll see soon whether that means dafka the chazaka or even the chazaka is good enough, but obviously the shtar would be good enough as well. That's what the Rashbam points out, that's going to be a discussion soon in the Gemara. The Rashbam points out that some have a girsa over here where there, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says bechazaka, and then it immediately follows up by saying bechazaka v'lo b'shtar, eima af bechazaka. But the Rosh Bam says that's not a correct girsa, because we're going to see in the Gemara that it's possible that whole issue of bechazaka v'lo b'shtar or af bechazaka is going to play itself out in the Gemara. So it doesn't make sense that the Braisa would have already had that conversation. So all we have right now is a machlokas tanoim. We don't know exactly what the case is, but something along the lines that someone's holding onto a piece of karka and he claims that it's his because he has a shtar and a chazaka. Which does he have to produce? Rebbe says he needs to produce the shtar. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says he needs to produce the chazaka. So b'mayka miflugi, what is this nukudas hamachlokas? What is the nukudas hamachlokas between Rebbe Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe? The Rashbam says, and umitoch kach neidu perish abraisa. And based on what that machlokas is, we'll know when Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says that he has to bring his chazaka, does that mean dafka the chazaka or also the chazaka? Meaning, does that mean that he has to bring both the shtar and the chazaka, or just the chazaka? Again, that was not made clear to us yet, but that's going to be dependent on which of the five interpretations of this braisa we're going to accept. So again, to keep it very simple, a guy claims that this land is his. The previous owner says, I don't know what you're talking about, it's been my land forever. The guy who claims that it's his says, I have a shtar and I have a chazaka. So we have machlokas, Rabbi Yerim Shum Gamliel, which one he must produce? Must he produce a shtar, or must he produce a chazaka? So five explanations of what's going on in this braisa. So explanation number one, they're arguing whether you can sell shtaros through mesira alone. That's someone's machzik in the karka, tainas that he was kona from somebody with a shtar, but that shtar was not written for this mechira that he was kona. It's just that when the guy he bought it from purchased the karka from the original Bailim, he had a shtar mekach that he was purchasing it. And then he just forwarded me the shtar. When he sold me the field, he just gave me the shtar. Instead of writing up a new shtar that he's selling me the field, so Reuven was the original owner of the field, he sold it to Shimon, there's a shtar mekach between Reuven and Shimon. Now Levi comes and buys it from Shimon, and all Shimon does is he gives that shtar mekach to Levi. So for him to be zochah in the karka, Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar, Einos Yos Niklas Min Sira, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that doesn't work. And when you give this shtar mekach, when the mocher gives that shtar mekach to the lokeach that the mocher himself had purchased the karka with, it doesn't work to be makne to this new lokeach. It doesn't work to be makne it to Levi, because Levi's name's not in the shtar. It wasn't written for Levi. And therefore, if Levi wants to prove that this land is his, he's going to have to bring Edim that he did a kinyan chazaka on this land, that he was na'al gadur uparat. He's going to have to show a different form of kinyan, because this shtar is not his form of kinyan, which would mean that when we say nidon b'chazaka, it means only with Eide Chazaka, that the shtar is not going to be good enough, right? Remember, we had that, we just discussed that. When Rav Shimon Gamliel says b'chazaka, does he mean only b'chazaka or also b'chazaka? According to this interpretation, it's only b'chazaka, because the shtar has nothing to do with this fellow. Rebbe suffer osios niknas b'mesira, but Rebbe holds osios niknas b'mesira and memela. If the shtar was given to the guy who's holding onto the field right now by the person who's selling it to him, so that's good enough. Shimon gives Levi the shtar, even though Levi's name is not on the shtar, that's good enough. Levi now owns that field. So Amar Abaye, Imkein, Plukta L'Damar. So Abaye says to Rav Dimi, wait a second, if Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Ein Osios Niknas B'Mesira, you're arguing on your own Rebbe, on Rabbah, because Rabbah had said in yesterday's daf that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that yes, Osios Niknas B'Mesira. Meaning, if the machlokas as presented here in the Braisa is about whether Osios Niknas B'Mesira or not, the way you're explaining it, then you hold that Rav Shimon Gamliel thinks Osios are not Niknas B'Mesira. Problem is, Rabbah said in yesterday's daf that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Osios are yes Niklas B'Mesira. How could you possibly argue on Rabbah? Amalei Fetifluk. So he says, I don't understand what the problem is. I'm allowed to argue on Rabbah. Rabbah's not a Tana, so what's the problem? So Amalei Abai says, no, Hachika Minilach. What I'm really asking you is, Masnisa, the Braisa that we quoted previously, that Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if someone is Nosin Matana L'Chavero, and he gives back the Shtar, that the Matana is now returned. Remember, we had that Braisa say yesterday that if someone gives a matana to somebody else, and the recipient just gives back the shtar matana, we said, okay, now the matana belongs back to the person who it originated with. It no longer belongs to the recipient. Just giving back the shtar is a retraction of the whole matana. So lo mitartza kedem mitartza tamar. That only works the way Rabbah explained it. That brisa can only be explained the way Rabbah explained it, which is that according to Mishum Liel Osios and Nikros b'Masira v'im Kain, and therefore the way you're explaining today's brisa of Haba Lidon B'Shtar B'Chazaka, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds Ein Osios Nikras B'Masira, Kashrut Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I mean, forget about that. You're arguing on Rabbah's interpretation. There was a hechrich for Rabbah's interpretation. So since Rabbah's interpretation must have been correct, it turns out that you're going to have a stira within Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Does he hold Osios Nikras B'Masira or not? So again, approach number one in how to explain our brisa is that the whole machlokas is about Osios Nikras. But Abaye challenges that approach, because then you're going to run into trouble explaining the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So that brings Abaye to approach number two. Elo Amar Abaye. Abaye says, no, you know what? Both Rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel hold that the osios are niknos b'mesira. Hachav Mayaskin, and over here, the Bryce is talking about a case where the guy is machzik in the karka, and he says that he has a regular shtar mekach that has his name on it, and there are edim signed on that shtar mekach, and it was also given over in front of other edim. And he says, and not only do I have that, I also have edim that have that I did a kinyan chazaka on this karka. So I have a shtar with edim signed on it, and it was given, the shtar was given, there was a mesiras shtar in front of Edim, and I have Edim that I did a kinyan chazak on the shtar that I was nol gadur uparat. So gan shenimtza echad mehen karav apostle. And then we find one of the Edim that are signed on the shtar is a karav apostle. So now what's the machlokas? So the machlokas, Rabbi Yamshun Gamliel, is ubeplukta to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar, kamifliki. They're arguing about the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Savalak, Rabbi Lazar. Damar Edim Mesira Karti. Rebbe holds like the sheet of Rabbi Lazar that Edim Mesira Karti, that the Edim of the Mesiras I get are the ones that give the koach to the get and are machshir the get and really generate the krisos between the husband and the wife. That's what generates the divorce. And you don't even need Edi Chasima Me Ikra Adin. It's not necessary to have Edi Chasima Me Ikra Adin. The only reason we have Edim Chosma on get is Mipnei Tikuna Olam, that if everyone were to divorce his wife, and only in front of Edim Mesira, it will be very hard for the woman to prove later on that she was actually divorced, because she's not going to be able to bring those Edim with her wherever she goes in life. And also, those Edim eventually might move, they might die, and the Chamor Mesake, and therefore that you sign Edim on a get, and she could just bring the get, and everyone will recognize the signatures. So even though the Torah says V'kasav la, Sefer Krisos, Rav Lazar holds, it doesn't mean Lashon Ksiva, it doesn't mean Lashon Chasima Se'edim, it means the Siva of the Nusach of the get. But the Edi Chasima was only a later takana, because to make it easier for the woman. So if that's true by a get, it's also true by Shtari Mamon, that the Edim Mesira are the Iker Edim. So Mela, it turns out that if one of the Edim that are signed is Pasul, the Shtar itself is not Pasul. It's Miskayim Aliyadei the Edim Mesira, and you don't have to bring, he doesn't have to bring Edi Chazaka. Rav Shimon Gamliel Savarlak Rabbi Meir, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you need to bring your Edi Chazaka, that you cannot use the Shtar at all, holds like Rabbi Meir, Damar Edi Chasima Karti, who holds that Edim that are signed on the get are the ones that actually give the get all of its power. Pasuk says, because of La Sefer Krisos, we assume V'chasavla means V'chasamla. So the same is true by Shtari Mamon, that the Edei Chasima are what give the Koach to that Shtar. So if one of the Edei Chasima are Pasul, the Mekach is Pasul. The whole thing doesn't work. So you want to be be proven to be the owner of the field, then you're going to have to bring your Edei Chazaka. Now the Rishonim raised the question, Tosus raised the question, the Ramban raised the question, then in Gittin Daf Yiral, if it says that Mishum Gamliel holds like Rabbi Elazar, the Redi Mesira Karti. And over here, the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel can only be explained according to Rabbi Meir, the Redi Chasima Karti. So it's a stira. What does he actually hold? So Tosos and Kuf Samach Tesam Beis, Dibra Maskel V'Rabban, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over there holds like Rabbi Elazar by Gite Nashim, but not by other Shtaros, meaning maybe there's a chilik in what he holds, being Gite Nashim, Lishar Shtaros. So again, Abaye's explanation is that the case that we're talking about in our Brisa is that the fellow has Eide Chasima and Eide Mesira on the Shtar, and he also has Eidim that he did a Chazaka. So, but one of the Eide Chasima was proven to be Pasul. So the Machlokas Tanayim is, do we say, who cares? As long as you have your Eide Mesira, you are good to go, because it's Eide Mesira Karti, like Rabbi Elazar. Or do we say, no, the fact that one of your Eide Chasima is Pasul means this Shtar is no good. We have to ignore this Shtar. You're going to need a different form of Raya, namely the Eidim that you did, the Chazaka. That's the Machlokas Tanayim. So ask the Gemara, how can you say that according to Rabbi Elazar, a Shtar that has a Karav or a Pasul signed on it is going to be Kasher anyway, because they're Eide Mesira, they're a valid Eide Mesira? Are you sure about that? Vamar Rabbi Abba, Modai Rabbi Elazar b'Mezuif Mitocho Shu Pasul. But didn't Rabbi Abba teach us that even Rabbi Elazar holds Eidim Mesira Karti? That's if you don't have Eidim at all signed in the Shtar. If there are no Eidim signed in the Shtar on the Get, so then, or the Shtar, then Eidim Mesira will be good enough. But if you have Eidim Psulim signed in the Shtar, that invalidates the entire Shtar. Even Rabbi Elazar is Modai that that's called Mezuif Mitocho, and that's going to be Pasul. So therefore, the Gemara is going to have to suggest a third interpretation of what's going on in the Braisa, because it's hard to imagine that in a case where you find one of the Eide Chasima to be a Karav or a Pasul, that anybody will say that you're allowed to rely on the Eide Mesira. Eide Mesira don't work when it's Mezuyif Mitocho. That idea of Mezuyif Mitocho plays a role in a major discussion in Poskim about how to handle a Ksuba, about what the Eidim on a Ksuba should look like. The Chuvas Tashbetz writes that by a Shtar Ksuba that they signed Eidim on that are Krovim Zelazay, says Shtar Ze Apostle Vafilu Masu Bifnei Eidim Ksherim, even if it was given over in front of Eidim Ksherim, Dilu Hayubo Eidim Ela Shalom Neskaimu, Vafilu Ein Eidim Chosim Boklala Yukasha Kshanim Ser Bifnei Eidim Ksherim, Dekaimel Eidim Zirakarti. Tashbetz writes that if there were no Eidim on the Ksuba, or if there were Eidim, but we just weren't able to verify the veracity of the Eidim, and you had Eidim Mesira, that would be perfectly fine. But if you have Eidim and they're puzzle, then the Eidim Mesira is not going to help, because that's Mezuyaf Mitocho. So he writes in that same tshuva, he says, but there is a takana to make everything work, and that is, have the chassan sign the ksuba himself. Because if you're not able to find Eidim to be Mekayim the Eidim Ksuba, and you find two Eidim to be Mekayim the Chasima the Chasan, then it's as if you're Mekayim the Chasima the Eidim, and he's not going to be able to say Parati, and you're able to be government, a Yarshim, and Al-Kuchos, all the things as if it were a regular Shtar Mekuyim, that they were Mesakin, that the Chasan himself will sign the Ksuba to guarantee that this Ksuba can be collected in all the proper ways, and it will be easier to find people to verify the signature of the Chasan than it will be to verify the signature of the Eidim. And the Nachlas Shiva says that the Nagu Ba Ashkenaz, that the Chassan signs the Ksuba. However, he should sign it off to the side, not next to the Eidim. That's what Mariel writes as well, that he should sign it on the left side of the Shtar at the end of the line, connected to the Eidim, but not right next to the Eidim, because he's a Karov, so you don't want to have three Eidim and one of them be the Chassan, because then it's Echad Meam Karov Apostle. In Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner in a tshuva quotes that the minig is that the Chassan signs on the Ksuba, and he says that Ma'ayin Beposkim will see that there were different minhagim amongst the different places, but we're Tzetzoy B'nei Ashkenaz, and the Ramah always follows the B'nei Ashkenaz, and the biggest Baki in Shtaros, the go-to Sefer in Shtaros, is Nachlas Shiva, and the Nachlas Shiva says that we're supposed to have the Chassan sign the Ksuba. So what if the Chassan himself signed the Ksuba and then the Eidim are found to be Pasul? Can you then rely on the Chasima of the Chassan or not? Meaning when the Tashmis is writing, if I can't find anyone to be Mekayim, the Chasimos of the Eidim, okay, so then I'll at least have the Chassan, you know, it's a B'Ksav Yodo that he's being Mekayim himself, and that would be perfectly fine. But what if I do find people to testify about the chasimus of the Edim, and it turns out that their krovim were psulim. So now can I rely on the chasim of the chasan? So that's a machlokas. The Tashbis writes that if it's a pasul ksuba, the chasim of the chasan doesn't help because it's mezuyif mitocho. That's our sugya. When it's mezuyif mitocho, Edim Asira doesn't help, and when it's mezuyif mitocho, the chasim of the chasan is not going to help. However, the Shut Marshach writes that it's going to be kosher because it's not midin the Shnei Edim. You can ignore the Shnei Edim, but it's a shtar b'ksivas yado, meaning you can't rely on Edim Asira when one of the Edim is possible. But you have two, it's like you have two sets of Edim over here. You have the Edim, and okay, they're possible, and then you have the Chasan. It's b'ksivas yado, so that's going to be kosher. So in the Sefer Mutzam Le'esh, he quotes this Marshach and he says L'chora, the Chasan signing on the shtar ksuba is only al das that the shtar is kosher. Meaning, what's he signing to? He's signing that everything else about the shtar is everything about the shtar is kosher. But if the edim aren't kosher, then his whole signature is worthless. So that's a major discussion whether the chasan signature will even work in a situation where the edim are found to be psulim. But it certainly works in a situation where they're not found to be psulim, where we just haven't been able to be mekayim the chasimos. Now the minhag, I think, in America is that the chasan does not sign the ksuba, but there definitely are places where the minhag is like that. I remember when I read the Rav Elyashiv biography, so it has a picture of his shtar ksuba, and he's definitely signed on the bottom. I guess that must be the minhag Eretz Yisrael, or maybe some places in Eretz Yisrael, but that's based on the Nachla Shiva, which might be based on this sugya. Okay, so now we move on to the third interpretation of what's going on in the Braisa. Elo Amar Rav Rabbi Avina. Rabbi Yaakov Avina says that we should be goris Rav Avina. The Rashbam's gear says Ravina. The Rashbam had said back on Daf Ayin Dalet that Ravina happens, his real name was Rav Avina. We just call him Ravina for short. Okay, so somebody, Ravina, Rabbi Avina, Rav Avina, someone explains as follows. Hakol Modim, both Rabbi and Rav Shmuel agree, Shem Kosovbo, that if in the Shtar, based in rights of Lashon, huskaknu le'edusun shaleidim v'nimtzei se'edusun mezuyefes. That we looked into this, and the edus over here is mezuyef shu pasul. Even though they're edei mesira, if we know that the edei chasima are pasul, then it is going to be pasul. Taras Chaim raises a simple question. If the Beis Din wanted to pasul the shtar, why did they write this whole nusach? Why didn't they just tear up the shtar? Wouldn't that be a better way to pasul the shtar? So he says that Ravina is being mechadesh, that even if the Dayanim write on the shtar that the chasimus of the Edim are pasul, and the shtar was given in front of good kosher Edim Mesira, so they're saying, look, this shtar is pasul, but what it says in here is true, because it was given in front of Edim Mesira, it's still mezuyif mitocho. Mezuyif mitocho is a problem. You cannot rely on a shtar that has pasul Edim. Kidder Rabbi Abba, and they're because like Rabbi Abba said, mezuyif mitocho is pasul. So what then is the machlokas? Rabbi Ramshum Umliel lo nechlal b'shtar she'in al edim klal. The machlokas is, what if you have a shtar that has no edim signed on it, but it was given over in front of edim? The Rabbi Savlo Rabbi Lazar Damedim Mesirah Karti. Rabbi Ramshum Umliel Savlo Rabbi Meir Damedim Chasima Karti. That Rabbi holds like Rabbi Lazar Damedim Mesirah Karti, and therefore it's perfectly good. So the shtar works, and you don't need to bring edei chazaka. You don't need to bring edim that you made a chazaka in this property. And Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, like Rav Meir, that Eide Chasima Karti, and there are no Eide Chasima, so this shtar is worthless, and therefore you need to bring your Eide Chazaka. So that's the machlokas in the Braisa. V'Baisema, a fourth possible interpretation of what the machlokas is in the Braisa, is that we're talking about a shtar mekach that the machzik has that's not mekuyim, and meaning that we're not able to be mekayim the shtar. Why not? We couldn't find edim that recognize the signatures on this shtar, so we're unable. We can't find the edim themselves, so we're never able to successfully be mekayim the shtar. So modu b'shtar sheksavol tzarich lekayimo kamithlagi. And the machlokas between Rami and Rishon Gamliel is if a person is toveya is somebody else with the shtar that doesn't have where the chasimos are not mekuyamos, and the nitvah says, yeah, the shtar is true, But there's another reason why I don't owe you the money. I already paid it back, and you gave me back the shtar, and then I dropped it, and you must have found it. You know, something like that. But it's a good shtar. It's just that it was already paid up, or some other reason. So the Rebbe Savar Modim Shtar Shiksavo in Tzorach L'Kaimo, that, well, if you're admitting that the shtar was written and that this is not a shtar that's mezuyav, there's no need for a kiyum shtaros. So we could ignore your taina about it being dropped and lost and already paid back or whatever. You were modim shtar, so it's as if the shtar is already mekuyam. So good, you don't have to bring any other edei chazaka. Here you have your shtar. That's Rebbe Shita. Rebbe Shmuel Gamliel Savar Tzorach L'Kaimo, and Rebbe Shmuel Gamliel says, well, the only way we know that this shtar was a valid shtar is because the Nitva himself admitted that it's a valid shtar. Well, you got to listen to what else the Nitva is saying. He's also saying that it was already paid back. He's also saying that he dropped it and you found it. So you can't listen to half of what he says and not the other half of what he says. Apesha asar, hu apesha hitir. The only knowledge we have of the veracity of this shtar is the Nitva himself, so we should believe everything the Nitva says. So says Mar, that's really the machlokas Rabbi Rishon Gamliel about modu b'shtar shaksavo, tzarech l'kayim or not, v'ibchashem inilu. Elsewhere we learned that, yes, they do argue about this issue of modu b'shtar shaksavo, tzarech l'kayim or not, but they hold the opposite shitos. Titania, because we have a brisa, shnayim adukin b'shtar. If let's say you have a malva and a lova that are both holding on to a shtar chov, malva omer shalihu. The malva says the shtar is mine. I had it in my possession because you haven't paid me yet, and therefore I have the right to have this shtar so that I can collect from you. V'nafal mimeni umetzaso. And why are you holding on to half of it? Because I dropped it. You saw me drop it, and we both picked it up, and therefore we're both grabbing it. Velova Amar Shalachaihu, and the Lova says, you're right, it was yours because I did write you the shtar and you did lend me the money, I did borrow from you, but Upratavlach, I already paid you back and you gave me back the shtar and I dropped it. So Yiskayim Ashtar B'chosmav, you're Mekayim the shtar with the Chosmim and Divri Rabbi, that's what Rabbi holds, that you need to be Mekayim the shtar. Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel Amar Yachloku, Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel says, you don't need to be Mekayim the shtar, you just split the value of the shtar. The lova pays half of the chov, and that's written in the shtar. Va'avin and ba. So what is what are they arguing about over there? So we had a whole discussion about this in the first parak of Bamatzia. How could it be that Rebbe holds that the malva is going to be able to collect the entirety of the chov? After all, let's say the Rebbe had it. Does Rebbe not hold of the first Mishnah in Bamatzia? Shnayim ochsin betalis, that if two people are holding on to a talis, zomer ani mitzasiya. One of them says, I found it. Zomer ani mitzasiya. The other one says, I found it. So Zay Yishava Shein Lo Bapachos Michatzia. This one has to swear that he owns no less than 50% of this talis. Vizay Yishava Shein Lo Bapachos Michatzia. And the other one swears that he owns no less than 50% of this talis. Viachloku. And then they split it. And the Gemara over there discusses why you take such a funny lashon of a shvua. Why doesn't each person just swear that they own the whole thing? Okay, the Gemara discusses that. And then they split it. But there's no shita in the Mishnah that disagrees with that. So why is it by the shtar, Rebbe says, that the malva can use the whole shtar? They're both holding on to the shtar. Shouldn't we say, yachloku? Let this one swear that he's owed no less than half of the money, and this one swear that he's paid no less than half of the money. Right? Do it that way, and then split it. So va'amarava amram nachman b'mukuyam. The case is, we're talking about a shtar mukuyam, I'm sorry, b'mukuyam dukuliam l'pligid yachloku. If the case would have been that it were a shtar mukuyam, then everyone would agree, yachloku, eino chinami. That's enough in the mission of the first mission of Mesechta Matzia. That if it's a shtar mukuyam that they're both holding on to, it's shnayim oksin. So then each one would take some sort of shavua, and it would be yachloku. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas is b'sheinu mukuyam. If the shtar is not mukuyam, Rebbe Savar Modu b'shtar b'shekhsavo tzorech l'kaimo. Rebbe holds, if it's not mukuyam, there's no kiyam on this shtar. The only way we know the shtar is valid is because the nitva is saying that it was valid. Well, he's also saying that it was paid up. So apesha asar apesha hitir. And v'imekayim lei. And if the malva is able to be mekayim the shtar, Gavi Palga, then in a Chanami you'll be able to collect half. V'ilo, but if the Malva is not able to be Mekayim the Shtar, and the only way we know the Shtar is valid is because of the Nitva, but the Nitva says it was already paid up, Chas v'Bialmahu, then the Shtar is a piece of garbage, and you can't collect anything with the Shtar. So that's Rebbe's opinion, that the Shtar inherently, even though the guy was Moda Shekhsavo, the Shtar inherently is now worthless. V'Ramashungam Leo Savar, Moda Shtar Shekhsavo, ain't Tzarech L'Kaimo. Then, no, once the guy is Moda, you don't need to be Mekayim the Shtar. The Shtar is a fully functioning valid star, and therefore we resort back to Bab Metzia, the Achloku. We split it. So what do you see from here? That the way we're explaining this machlokas, Rabbi and Rishon Gamliel, about a malva and a lova holding on to a star, is that it's a machlokas about moda b'shtar shekhsav tzarech l'kaimo and tzarech l'kaimo, but the opinions are flipped. So how can you, how can the Gemara come along and say that the machlokas in our brisa that we've been working on all day is about moda b'shtar shekhsav tzarech l'kaimo and tzarech l'kaimo, but the opinions are going to be flipped? So it says Gemara epoch. You have to flip the shitos in our brisa that we have in our sugya. That Mishum Umliel is the one that says nidon b'shtar because moda b'shtar shekhsavo ain't tzarech l'kaimo, so the shtar is perfectly good, and the ma'ar is not neman to say that he didn't give the shtar to the kona. And Rebbe holds nidon b'chazaka, that it's dafka chazaka because moda b'shtar shekhsavo tzarech l'kaimo. So as long as he wasn't mekayim it, the ma'ar is neman that the shtar is pasul. So you're going to need to bring edei chazaka. V'iba yisema, a fifth and final explanation of what's going on in our brisa, the olam lo tepuch. You don't have to switch around the shitos. Rebbe is the one that holds nidon b'shtar. Rebbe Shmuel Gamliel is the one that holds nidon b'chazaka. Elahacha b'levarer kamiflugi. Over here, the machlokas is a person who says that he has a lot of rayos to prove that that he's correct. Does he have to bring all of the rayos that he claims to have? That even Mikra Adin, he doesn't need all these rayos, but he claims to have them. So Rebbe's shita is, well, if he says he has a million rayos, he's got to bring a million rayos, and therefore, even though a person normally it's machzik in karka for 3 years, does not need to bring a shtar mekach to claim that it's his. But nevertheless, this person claims that he has a shtar mekach, so he's going to have to bring that shtar, and he cannot say that he lost the shtar and only bring the edei chazaka. Because he's saying that that he's a machzik, the other guy will taina that he was machzik in this karka b'gzeila. Whereas Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds that he doesn't have to bring all of his tainos; it's just good enough to bring whatever you would normally bring. So bring your chazaka, just like anybody else would be neman with a chazaka. Originally you said you have a shtar. You didn't need to say you have a shtar, but you said it, so you're not going to be held to that. So it says Gemara, we have a story that illustrates this, and we're reading there are many, many interpretations in Rishonim of this Gemara. We're reading it according to the Rashbam. Kiyodra Bitzik Bar Yosef Avamask Bezuze Rabbi Abba. There was a sichsuch in Dina Mamanus about between Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef and Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef felt that he was owed money by Rabbi Abba that Rabbi Abba had borrowed and not paid back. So Asal Kamed Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So they came to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha to Din Torah. So Amar Rabbi Abba said, Pratich b'fnei Ploni Ploni, I paid you in front of these two Edim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Yavo Ploni Ploni V'idim. Oh, you did? So let them come and testify that Yutaka paid in front of these two Edim. So Amalei, Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Ilo asu lo mehem nina? Wait, and if I don't bring those Edim, I'm not going to be believed that I paid? V'akaymel an amal v'eschaver be'edim ein esorach l'paro be'edim. Don't we paskin that amal v'eschaver be'edim, you don't have to pay back with Edim. So, I told you that I paid back with Edim, but I don't need to have paid back with Edim. I'm neman tse parati anyway, so why should I have to produce the Edim? So Amalei, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha said back to Rabbi Abba, I hold like Rabbi Abba based on how you yourself paskind. Rabbi Abba said that Amar Avad Bar Avam Rav Homer L'Chaver Pratich B'nei Ploni Ploni Tzorch Shivo Ploni Ploni V'Yidu. That ain't a chinami. Even though when you borrow money with Edim, you don't have to pay back with Edim. But if you claim to have paid back with Edim, then you need to bring the Edim. So whatever evidence you claim to have, we're going to hold your feet to the fire. You're going to have to bring that. So Amar Leiv Amar Rav Gidol Amrav Alach Kediv Rameshum Umli. But don't we say that we pass on Rav Shmuel Gamliel that you don't have to bring everything, all the evidence you claim to have? Ve'af Rebbe, and it's also mistaken to say that because even Rebbe who says that you have to be mochiach and bring the shtar, lo amar ella levarer. He only said that Mikra Adin, you have to bring the shtar mekach, But since he said that he has a shtar to be mevaris devarav, and if he's not mevaris devarav, he's going to lose out. So since even according to Rebbe, the chiyuv to be mevaris is only because he said something extra, so it's more mistaber that Rav Shmuel Gamliel is correct, that you're not chayiv because of some extra statement that you said to bring every bit of evidence. Amalei ananami levar kamina. So Rav Yitzchak Nafka said back to Rabbi Abba, I paskan like Rebbe, that if you do say something, then we hold you to what you said, and therefore you claimed that there were edim that you paid in front of, and therefore you're going to need to bring those edim that you paid in front of. Okay, so now we move on to a new Mishnah. So, Misha Par Miktsas Chovo. If a person paid back partially, he didn't pay back the entire chov, he paid back Miktsas Chovo. The Gemara Bava Metzia Dafai and Zayin says, you're allowed to do that. The lender cannot say, all or nothing, I'm not taking half, right? If you want to pay back, you want to start paying it off, you're allowed to pay it off, and the Malva can't do anything about it. So, someone who pays the Malva Miktsas Chovo. So, the Malva problem is the Malva has a shtar that says the amount of the entire chov. So the simplest thing to do is to find a third party that they both trust to hold on to the shtar and instruct him that if you see that he pays back the remainder, right, do something like that. The Meiri points that out, that would have been a simple solution, but our Mishnah is talking about a case where they cannot find a third party that they both trust. Okay, so now what do? I have a shtar that says that this guy owes me $1,000. Problem is, he already paid me back $500. So it's not right for me to hold on to a shtar that's partially parua, but I can't give it back to him because then I won't be able to collect my other $500. Machlokas Tanayim, what to do? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yachlif. Rabbi Yehuda says the Malva should switch out the shtar, meaning tear up the shtar and write a new shtar for only $500. And the Malva is not going to be able to keep the shtar chov, in his hands, against the will of the Lova, and just write a shovar on it. We don't do that. You just tear it up and write a new shtar. Rabbi Yosef Amar Yichtov Shovar. Rabbi Yosef says, no, let the Malva hold on to the shtar that says that he's owed $1,000. Write the Lova a shovar, a receipt that says that he already paid $500. And then when the Malva brings the shtar to base, and the Lova will bring his shofar, and he'll only owe $500. So Rabbi Yehuda explains why he does not like the idea of Rabbi Yossi to write a shofar. Rabbi Yehuda says, according to you, Rabbi Yossi, that the shtar stays with the malva, nimsa zetzarach liyos shomer shovar menachbarim. It turns out that the lova is going to have a responsibility to watch over the shovar and make sure that achbarim don't eat the shovar, meaning he's going to make sure that it doesn't get lost and doesn't get ruined. Because if he loses the shovar, the malva is going to be able to collect the full $1,000, even the part that he already paid up. So that's not fair to make him, to give him a new responsibility, give the lova a new responsibility. The malva always had to keep his eye on the shtar. That was part of the deal, but now you're going to give the Lova a new responsibility that he's got to keep his eye on the Shovar as well. So Amar lo Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said back to Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, kach yafalo. It makes sense that the Malva, that's what's good for the Malva, that the Lova should be the one that's worried about the Shovar, not that the Malva should be the one that has to worry only about the Shtar Chov. Below Yera Kocho Shelzeh, and the Lova should not weaken the position of the Malva by tearing up the Shtar and writing a brand new Shtar. Why is that going to weaken the position of the Malva by tearing up a shtar and writing a brand new shtar? The brand new shtar will say that he's still owed another $500, which is exactly what he's owed. So the Rashbam explains that when they write a brand new shtar and they don't write a shovar, the Lova is not going to be worried about the loss of the shovar, and therefore he's going to have less motivation to pay it up quickly. Meaning, it makes sense for the Malva to want to put a little pressure on the Lova to pay up what he owes. So if the Lova has a shovar and he knows, if I lose this shovar before I pay up the rest of the loan, I'm going to end up having to pay a full $1,000. So there's pressure on him to want to pay it up and want to take care to settle his debt. But if the Lova, but if there's just a new shtar that says that he owes $500, I have no pressure. There's nothing, eventually I'll have to pay $500 whenever he comes after me, but I'm not going to feel that sense of pressure. So if we have an option of either applying extra pressure to the Lova or not applying extra pressure to the Lova, we'd rather apply that extra pressure to the Lova. Ever Lova li'ish Malva. That's why it's considered to be better for the Malva. The Rambam in Perusha Mishnayis writes that no, the reason why it's worse for the Malva is that if we write write a new shtar, that's worse for the Malva, because what's going to be the date on that new shtar? It's going to be today's date. It's not going to be the date of the original loan, which means he's not going to be able to collect from the Chasam Meshubadim going back to that time. That's why it's going to be a Haraz Kolach of the Malva to write a new shtar. That itself is a Machlokas Rishonim. Is that really what we envision? To write when Rabbi Yehuda says Yachlif, to write a new shtar with today's date? I would have imagined the way most Rishonim say, Yachlif, write a new shtar with the original date. Why should he lose out on that Shibud? Okay, Amar Rav Huna Marav. Rav Huna Marav says, Ein halacha lo k'Rav Yehuda v'lo k'Rav Yossi. Neither of the opinions in the Mishnah is what we hold like, says Rav. Ella, we have a third option. Based in Makarin Ashtar, V'kosin L'Shtar Acher, Mizman Arishon. Beisdin tears up the shtar, not the Edim, not anybody else. That's what he's being mechadish, the way the Rashbam reads this Gemara. He's saying, I understand that you, Rabbi Yehuda, said Yachlif, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was to write a new shtar. But Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that anybody could just write the new shtar, that the Edim could tear up the shtar and write a new shtar. No, Beisdin tears up the shtar, and they write a new shtar, Mizman HaRishon, from the original date, not like Rabbi Yehuda says that even the Edim could do it. There were two Tanaim in the Mishnah. How could Rav come along and argue? Rav Tanuhu Palak. Rav argues on Tanayim all the time, and that's fine. That's what the Rashbam points out over here. Rav is going to argue on these Tanayim as well. So Amrle Rav Nachman Rav Huna, Rav Nachman says Rav Huna, Va'amri La, Rav Yirm Barav Rav Huna, Ishmele L'Rav HaBraisa. If Rav would have ever heard the following Braisa, had he been aware of the existence of the following Braisa, he would have changed his mind. Titania, because there's a Braisa that says, Edim Mekarinus Ashtar Vakosan Ashtar Acham Yizman Rishon Sahava Hadarbay. The Bryce says explicitly that it's not the Beis Din, it's the Edim that tear up the Shtar and write a new Shtar from the earlier date. Samalei Rav Huna responded, Shmiel Levelo Hadarbay. He was aware of that Bryce, he didn't change his mind, he held that it's got to be the Beis Din, he argued on that Bryce. Okay, Bezrashem, tomorrow we'll pick up on the top of Kofayin Alpha. But Aleph, everyone have a great day.